Chapter 2. It was 4:30 by the testimony of the land surveyor, my authority for the particulars of this story, a gentleman with the faintest curve of humor on his lips. It was 4:30 on a May morning in the 1840s. A dense white fog hung over the valley of the Aix, ending against the hills on either side. But though nothing in the vale could be seen from higher ground, notes of differing kinds gave pretty clear indications that bustling life was going on there. This audible presence and visual absence of an active scene had a peculiar effect above the fog level. Nature had laid a white hand over the creatures ensconced within the vale, as a hand might be laid over a nest of chirping birds. The noises that ascended through the pallid coverlid were perturbed lowings, mingled with human voices in sharps and flats, and the bark of a dog. These, followed by the slamming of a gate, explained as well as eyesight could have done, to any inhabitant of the district, that Dairyman Tucker's under-milker was driving the cows from the meads into the stalls. When a rougher accent joined in the vociferations of man and beast, it would have been realized that the dairy farmer himself had come out to meet the cows, pail in hand, and white pinafore on, and when, moreover, some women's voices joined in the chorus, that the cows were stalled, and proceedings about to commence. A hush followed, the atmosphere being so stagnant that the milk could be heard buzzing into the pails, together with occasional words of the milkmaids and men. Don't ye bide about long upon the road, Marjorie. You can be back again by skimming time. The rough voice of Dairyman Tucker was the vehicle of this remark. The barton gate slammed again, and in 2 or 3 minutes a something became visible, rising out of the fog in that quarter. The shape revealed itself as that of a woman, having a young and agile gait. The colors and other details of her dress were then disclosed: a bright pink cotton frock because winter was over, a small woolen shawl of shepherd's plaid because summer was not come, a white handkerchief tied over her headgear because it was so foggy, so damp, and so early, and a straw bonnet and ribbons peeping from under the handkerchief because it was likely to be a sunny May day. Her face was of the hereditary type among families down in these parts. Sweet in expression, perfect in hue, and somewhat irregular in feature. Her eyes were of a liquid brown. On her arm she carried a whitey basket, in which lay several butter rolls in a nest of wet cabbage leaves. She was the Marjorie who had been told not to bide about long upon the road. She went on her way across the fields, sometimes above the fog, sometimes below it, not much perplexed by its presence except when the track was so indefinite that it ceased to be a guide to the next stile. The dampness was such that innumerable earthworms lay in couples across the path till, startled even by her light tread, they withdrew suddenly into their holes. She kept clear of all trees. Why was that? There was no danger of lightning on such a morning as this. But though the roads were dry, the fog had gathered in the boughs, causing them to set up such a dripping as would go clean through the protecting handkerchief like bullets, and spoil the ribbons beneath. The beech and ash were particularly shunned, for they dripped more maliciously than any. It was an instance of woman's keen appreciativeness of nature's moods and peculiarities. A man crossing those fields might hardly have perceived that the trees dripped at all. In less than an hour as he had traversed a distance of 4 miles, and arrived at a latticed cottage in a secluded spot. An elderly woman, scarce awake, answered her knocking. Marjorie delivered up the butter, and said, "How is Granny this morning? I can't stay to go up to her, but tell her I have returned what we owed her." Her grandmother was no worse than usual. And receiving back the empty basket, the girl proceeded to carry out some intention which had not been included in her orders. Instead of returning to the light labors of skimming time, as he hastened on, her direction being towards a little neighboring town. Before, however, Marjorie had proceeded far, she met the postman, laden to the neck with letter bags, of which he had not yet deposited one. Are the shops open yet, Samuel? She said. Oh no, replied that stooping pedestrian, not waiting to stand upright. They won't be open yet this hour, except the saddler and ironmonger and little tacker-haired machine man for the farm folk. They downs their shutters at 6:30, then the bakers at 7:30, then the drapers at 8. The drapers at 8. It was plain that Marjorie had wanted the drapers. The postman turned up a side path, and the young girl, as though deciding within herself that, if she could not go shopping at once she might as well get back for the skimming, retraced her steps. The public road home from this point was easy but devious. By far the nearest way was by getting over a fence, and crossing the private grounds of a picturesque old country house, whose chimneys were just visible through the trees. As the house had been shut up for many months, the girl decided to take the straight cut. She pushed her way through the laurel bushes, sheltering her bonnet with the shawl as an additional safeguard, scrambled over an inner boundary, went along through more shrubberies, and stood ready to emerge upon the open lawn. Before doing so she looked around in the wary manner of a poacher. It was not the first time that S.E. had broken fence in her life. But somehow, and all of a sudden, S.E. had felt herself too near womanhood to indulge in such practices with freedom. However, she moved forth, and the house front stared her in the face, at this higher level unobscured by fog. It was a building of the medium size, and unpretending, the facade being of stone, and of the Italian elevation made familiar by Inigo Jones and his school. There was a doorway to the lawn, standing at the head of a flight of steps. The shutters of the house were closed, and the blinds of the bedrooms drawn down. Her perception of the fact that no crusty caretaker could see her from the windows led her at once to slacken her pace and stroll through the flower beds coolly. A house unblinded is a possible spy and must be treated accordingly. A house with the shutters together is an insensate heap of stone and mortar to be faced with indifference. On the other side of the house the greensward rose to an eminence, whereon stood one of those curious summer shelters sometimes erected on exposed points of view, called an all the year round. In the present case it consisted of four walls radiating from a center like the arms of a turnstile, with seats in each angle, so that whencesoever the wind came, it was always possible to find a screened corner from which to observe the landscape. The milkmaid's trackless course led her up the hill and past this erection. At ease as to being watched and scolded as an intruder, her mind flew to other matters, till, at the moment when she was not a yard from the shelter, she heard a foot or feet scraping on the gravel behind it. Someone was in the all the year round, apparently occupying the seat on the other side. As was proved when, on turning, she saw an elbow, a man's elbow, projecting over the edge. Now the young woman did not much like the idea of going down the hill under the eyes of this person, which she would have to do if she went on, for as an intruder she was liable to be called back and questioned upon her business there. Accordingly she crept softly up and sat in the seat behind, intending to remain there until her companion should leave. This he by no means seemed in a hurry to do. What could possibly have brought him there, what could detain him there, at 6 o'clock on a morning of mist, when there was nothing to be seen, or enjoyed of the vale beneath, puzzled her not a little. But he remained quite still, and Marjorie grew impatient. She discerned the track of his feet in the dewy grass, forming a line from the house steps, which announced that he was an inhabitant, and not a chance passerby. At last she peeped round. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.